Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast. I am Race for the Prize. Let's make some picks and bets for the COTA Cup Series race. Welcome to Daytona or Talladega. It is a super speedway build, and it usually is very similar. When we go to road courses, we do tend to build our lineups a lot like Daytona or Talladega. Now, we may not get the chaos, although we could get chaos. And after Saturday, yeah, there should be some craziness going on with course cutting, which we expected to happen, and with turn one being what it is. You don't necessarily have to be the best driver in the best equipment and have the best race. And then we've got stage cycling as well. So it's very much going to be maybe as random as a Daytona or Talladega, although we won't have a big one. We're going to have drivers that start in the back that weren't necessarily great in practice, may not have the greatest track history or be great road course racers, go forward and move forward because of the penalties, because of stage cycling, because of turn one being what it is. And that means you chase place differential. We're trying to maximize finishing position. We're trying to maximize place differential. And we're going to take that one guy that's going to lead laps. You're going to probably have a lot of money left on the table, and you're going to feel the need to want to take two of these drivers, saying that, oh, well, maybe I can, you know, really increase my odds of getting the lap leaders. The concern there is that you're just going to miss out on points because the place differential drivers come through. And I will not be surprised to see a lot of guys or see money be left on the table. So we'll just start with our lap leader, Hulk/Dominator. I like the guys in the green, Byron Gibbs, Reddick, Bell, Chastain. They were our favorites coming in. They were great in practice. They're great in qualifying. Just a degree of difference between all of them. There is a case that can be made for every single one of these drivers. We just have to see the way that it plays out. And unfortunately, if you don't have a crystal ball, which I don't have a crystal ball, it is hard to pick. If you made me pick one driver right now, it would be Byron. It would be Reddick, and then Gibbs and Bell. But it's just small, the difference. And it could come down to pit road and sequencing. So that one will probably be the trick of the day, is nailing the driver that wins the race and scores the most hog points. I just went ahead and slot them all in for 10 because we just don't know which one it will be. If you have access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet, you can always update it and then run the optimizer as you wish. That's at raceforthepryse.com. Please visit. If you don't want to subscribe, that's fine. Share, like the videos. That stuff works as well. So the real thing that we just have to talk about is the place differential, and there is plenty of it. And for, you know, various different reasons, some drivers had issues in qualifying, some were great in practice. I'm not going to overreact to that. You can, if you want to use the practice data to decide which one of these drivers you want to chase. But ultimately, I don't think it's going to come down to that. If you've been watching the racing this weekend, it's not likely going to come down to who was 15th on the practice board to who was 25th. It's going to come down to who doesn't make mistakes, who avoids the chaos, who pits at the right time. And it's going to feel pretty random. Again, a lot like a super speedway. So you're going to spray and pray and try to build lineups, taking as many of these guys in the back. And very similar to that, if we look at the qualifying order, again, just reiterating the fact that this is going to feel a lot like a super speedway. We like the guys to lead the laps who we expected to lead the laps. And then we're going all the way to the bottom and just chasing place differential. And then you've got good drivers in the teens and low 20s that may have practiced really well and are good road course drivers and have good equipment or are great in 2023 at the road courses or 2022, but they're just in this super speedway no man's land where they can have a good race. They can get a top 10, but they're not going to maximize place differential. And a driver in the back that not necessarily should be a good, have a good day, but just cycles up there or survives up there, or even just gets a top 15, but then also gets 15 place differential points and it just ends up higher on the scoreboard. So let's just do what we need to talk about, which is looking at the pool for the place differential drivers. And we'll just sort that by where I've got them projected by maximizing. Logano issue gets the course cutting penalty in, which isn't good, you know. Oh, he's starting in the back. Oh, no worries. It was just a course cutting penalty. So there, but yeah, what if he course cuts during the race? So that is a concern, but he was pretty solid at the road courses last year. One of the better drivers. I know it's been a tough season, but 7,400 for Logano, starting 35th. Imagine this is Daytona. Jam him in. Same thing with Keselowski. Not quite as good at the road courses of late, but again, you don't really need to be good. You just need to be mistake-free, survive, get things timed correctly, and there's just too much place differential value here to avoid. McDowell, so even better than Keselowski, which you can easily afford him at 8,000. Good road course racer, great last year, starting 27th, no worries. You may not even need the value with Gregson, who had a qualifying lap ruined because Suarez spun out and then he had a tire issue. You know, you might feel the urge. This could be an interesting angle, is that people are going to have so much money left on the table. Maybe they don't want to play Gregson and they upgrade the Gregson pick, but I think that could be a mistake with him starting 39th. Has all the capability of getting into the top 20. I mean, if he just finishes, what do I got him projected at, 19th? He doesn't even need a good day. Just don't screw up. He can get to 19th. And fifth best point per dollar play, even though point per dollar might be overrated when we have so much money left on the slate. But 44 fantasy points, I like it. I know Blaney didn't have the best practice, didn't have the best qualifying. And so if you want to react to that, you can, and you can downgrade him. But if I told you earlier this week you're getting Ryan Blaney at 7,500, who's been an above-average road course racer with a win under his belt, you're getting him at 7,500, you're getting him starting 28th, yeah, that seems like a play. Briscoe, quality road course driver, starting 32nd. I mean, this is very much like picking at a super speedway. You know, you want to say, well, I want to look at practice. But again, one of the reasons not to overreact to practice is because of the chaos that we are expecting and that we have seen. And, you know, maybe you let people follow chalk and let people follow practice and you just completely let go and subscribe to the belief, which really is not that hard to do after watching yesterday, seeing that, look, drivers that you don't expect are going to perform better, and guys that you think should have better days could get hit with a 40-second penalty at the end of the race. Once you accept that fact and free it up, then you're just, you know, taking plays in the back. This is a great opportunity. If you like playing the Daytona DraftKings contest, then this is the contest for you. Eric Jones didn't practice well. Who cares about practice? We could even make a note. You can go back to what Sonoma in 2019 has probably one of the worst practice weekends. And this is back when they used to practice, what, 1, 2, 3 sessions. Just one of the worst days ever. And was even spinning out in stage one of that Sonoma race, ends up in the optimal lineup. Just avoids chaos, plays the stages correctly, the race falls into his hands. I hope people say, well, look at this speed. It's not there. He struggled with his car. Yeah, well, he's got plenty of laps to go out there and turn and just see what happens and not make mistakes and not get into the turn one chaos. He is absolutely on the board at 38th. He's a professional road course driver. He's been in the Cup Series. I'm not saying he's going to figure it out, but just don't make a mistake. Buescher never seems to qualify or practice well. I tweeted out about this. He could get overlooked because he just doesn't have the big time place differential of the other drivers. But I would argue that he does still got 15 place differential. And among this group, he may be the best in terms of finishing position. And we've seen this play out. Again, reset your mind to Daytona or Talladega. Everyone is chasing in the back. And that's going to be across the board this weekend. And then these guys in the 20 and 25 often get overlooked and could be what helps you lower ownership and differentiate yourself in lineups. Still can't believe he's 7,800. Best average finish at the road courses last season, 7,800. What are we doing? Again, if I were to tell you a week ago, and if you knew nothing about turn one and you knew nothing about the course cutting penalties, that you're going to get the driver who averaged the best road course finish, who is maybe arguably one of the best road course drivers in the series at 7,800. Oh, by the way, starting 20th. at a road course where place differential becomes a big deal, you would be all over it. The only reason people may not be all over it is because they see all of these really awesome options. So maybe we get a little lower ownership on Buescher. Definitely want to go there. Kobayashi is probably going to scare some people, but this is a 2311 car, and 2311 Toyotas have been really fast. We know Tyler Reddick is lights out at the road courses. And I tweeted out about this. The guy at Hendrick, who was kind of their road course simulation model runner, who elevated Hendrick. Hendrick was already good at road courses. They're even better now, and they really grew. Well, he's now at 2311. And what happens when he went to 2311? Wow, they have really fast road course cars. I mean, even Bubba Wallace is showing a lot of speed. Kobayashi is going to be a guy that I can go to definitely too, especially if it scares people away because he's not a familiar name. As we go down, I think Larson's in no man's land. Suarez is in no man's land, but Suarez almost kind of fits in with that Buescher build as well. So if you want to kind of try to differentiate a little bit, push your cutoff line. I mean, you need to set the line in the sand, or I'm only taking drivers 25th or back or 20th or back. It's Daytona. Stenhouse is in play. Did it last year several times. Just avoid the chaos, stage cycle correctly, and he can work. I don't know if you're going to need the savings, though. He's going to check out his good point per dollar play, but point per dollar is going to be overrated when we have soft salaries. It's going to be overrated if we leave a lot of money on the table, and it could just come down to maximizing finishing position, and that's where it's going to kind of hurt. You may not need to go to Stenhouse. Same thing with Gilliland. He's in play, but if we have a bunch of money left on the table and we're maximizing place differential and we're able to maximize finishing position, then these guys probably aren't things that we need to go to. It's just going to determine how you want to build, if you want to go in different directions, but I'm expecting it being easy to construct. There's just too many of these drivers that are too cheap, that can move forward, and they're probably not going to be at the top of our board. Bowman is also a driver that's going to go overlooked, similar to, I don't think Buescher probably will. Suarez might. Bowman is a little closer to the front, doesn't necessarily get all the respect, but definitely has speed if you wanted to see it. Didn't quite get the, and he was actually pretty good in qualifying as well. Didn't quite make the gains that he needed to make, but a top 10 driver. If we look at what he was last year, average finish of 15th, that puts him in the top 10 last year at the road courses. Quality, solid. AJ probably in no man's land. Priest, I don't know if I need to go there. He definitely is in there, that Stenhouse, Gilliland, Priest group. I mean, the same type of quality play. I'm probably not going to go with Barry. I don't think Barry will be that popular. Didn't see it. Not really a great road course driver, obviously. Late model, oval guy. Could they get there? Yeah, if it is chaos and it is a plate race and he is starting in the back. But, you know, I like the other options in the back as well. So Barry's going to be down on my list. So you can probably get some lowered ownership. I don't really like what I saw at Zane Smith. SVG could be unique in that he just barely missed the final round of qualifying by like 1,000th of a second, something like that. So he could have been in contention to be one of these top guys. And he looked pretty good yesterday. So that is kind of a sneaky thought that crosses my mind, because he could possibly be a lap leader. He could possibly be a hog battling for a podium. Where do I got? Let me boost him up to third and see if that significantly changes him as a play, point per dollar wise. 41 fantasy points. Not quite what we need. Well, you know, point per dollar again could be overrated. That is 50 fantasy points. That is a very solid day, so don't overlook that. Harrison Burton, probably enough for me. Look, if we've got plenty of money, we are maximizing finishing position. He can't get there. Austin Dillon's not going to be played. Jonathan Hunter Niedpeck's not going to be played. So, yeah, SVG is kind of interesting. He could get almost 10 place differential points. 41 finishing position points. Interesting. That's kind of where I'm leaning. You know, I wish I could give you more specific guys, but that's pretty much the pool. This is pretty much a Daytona, Talladega type of event. So I'm chasing place differential. If you want to play around with building, there's tons of money left out there. Say you take William Byron, you got Logano, you got Kozlowski, you got Gregson, you got tons of money. You're going to feel the urge to want to go up with a second lap leader. And maybe that could be a way to differentiate if everyone is going like a 5-1 build. Here we are talking in terms of super speed. Is it a 5-1, 4-2? But that is always the case at a road course. And it seems like it is even more so than it ever has been with the way that qualifying played out, the way that Saturday played out. And so let's just take it. Let's take Buescher here, and I'm going to have plenty of money on the table again. Place differential chases. I got 11,700, and I can just jam in another place differential guy. And that's why you don't really need a Stenhouse. You don't really need a Todd Gilliland. It's just trying to pick the guys that can maximize finishing position and also stuff the place differential. If I were to look and rank my favorites in terms of maximizing finishing position, it's going to be Buescher as number one. He's starting closer to the front. He's a better road course driver. It's going to be McDowell number two. It's going to be Logano number three. Then I will say I'll just take the place differential with Brad Kozlowski. He may not be the max in terms of finishing position, but you'd rather play Kozlowski over Blaney because of the gap of place differential you can get. Then I will likely move to Kobayashi, and I might actually bump him up in terms of DFS in that he's not a familiar name. People may not trust this car or his history, but again, he just needs to keep it clean and stay out there and just run his race, and I can probably get a little bit lower ownership. So I could boost him up and try to lean more into that. Then it's going to be Briscoe. And then you've got the guys, if you really want to get weird and be different and try to get out of the chalk, because all these blue drivers will absolutely be heavily owned. Then maybe you move to Gilly, you move to Stenhouse to try to just leave a bunch of money on the table, go the, you know, full out Daytona mode to build that lineup. Bowman is another option if you want to really try to separate from the chalk if you can. And again, you can go with the two guys up front. And I'm probably avoiding a lot of these guys in the middle, but SVG does kind of intrigue me. I want to say maybe Austin Cindric, but I don't think I'm going to do it. I think I'm just going to stay with those guys. Hopefully this was helpful. Quick video. Good. I mean, there's really not much to it to break down. I don't really want to look at lap times all that much. I don't want to go over and see what they did. Basically, everybody started out slow. They slowly improved. If anything, you know, if you really want to see who's running, I would put more weight into their qualifying speeds to see who really, when it came down to it, had to nail a lap, was able to execute. But again, that's just one lap. And you're going to have to do it throughout the course of the race and avoid all the mistakes and all the things that we have seen unfold. So there it is. Chase and place differential. Leave a like, subscribe, share. I'm blessed to have you guys checking out this channel. Really hope you have a good day. I know it was crazy, so be aware if you are building lineups, it's going to be pretty chaotic. It's going to be pretty crazy. But if you get in the mindset of a Daytona or a Talladega, then even if you are disappointed today, you won't be as disappointed. Yeah, that should do it. So racefortheprize.com if you want to get access to the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet. But blessed to have you guys around. I love you guys. Trip to Light's fantastic.